He'd gone with the crew this morning in retaliation for having been made to clean the cookers before dawn. And if he followed them into danger, that'd be spite, too. That irritated her beyond measure. Spite was stupid. Even Callie was too smart to ride snit just to make a point. And Annalene had always figured Jabe had sense. Her sense. He'd give the Tuskins the same berth, wouldn't he? She was afraid she knew the answer. She found her inventory data pad and returned to staring at it. She couldn't read a word, of course. She only saw Jabe. And Orin. Orin. The claim had thrived long after Danar's death because Annalene had one steadfast rule. She never let anyone have anything on account. There was only one exception. Orin. Danar's best friend and sometimes business partner. Orin and Danar's friendship had gone back years, long before Annalene had come to work at Danar's store as a teenager. The two men had so many side deals that she'd always felt awkward trying to set limits. But Orin was sorely testing her patience now, dangling the possibility of range work for her son. Orin's family was a mess. Why did he meddle with hers? Aggravated, she tried to focus again on the data pad. "You're holding it upside down," Lily said from behind. Annalene didn't look up. "Are you still here?"
"I'm waiting for my change."
"You're out of luck. Change is the one thing Tatooine doesn't have." Taking a deep breath, she looked back at Lily and smiled wanly.
"How much was it?"
Lily waved her hand.
"Keep it. Maybe you can pay Dr. Mel to give you something to help you relax."
"Yeah," Annalene said, like a ticket to Alderaan. As if Lily's words had summoned him, the local physician, a Mon Calamari man, popped his head in the side door.
"Annalene, are they back yet?"
Mel wore a special cowl, supplying his tendrilled head with moisture, but he was flushed red nonetheless.
"The posse! I heard the call go off."
"They heard it on Sir Urja, Doc," Annalene said. "And Sir Urjans don't have ears." She didn't know if Mon Calamari had ears either, but she knew Doc Mel wouldn't mind the joke. The call was a gaudy display of decibels. Half the breakables in the store had fallen to the first test of the system years earlier. Annalene had learned to tune it out, a talent perfected during a lifetime in retail.
"They still might need a medic. I should meet them on the way back,"
the doctor said before cracking the door and pushing his young son inside. Annalene started.
"Hey, wait, don't leave your kid here."
"I'll be back."
The door slammed. Annalene pitched the data pad over her shoulder and felt her forehead. Yes, she was still here. And so were the four other younglings that had already been dropped off when their parents left with the posse. Two were at a table eating food plucked from the shelf. Two more were hiding somewhere. Babysitting wasn't her job, but with people rushing out to help someone in need, she'd found it hard to argue. Except people frequently left their children when there was no emergency, too. Annalene looked down on the sniffling pink ragamuffin and rolled her eyes. She sighed.
"Oh,
all right." She took the boy by the shoulders and pointed him to a rack near the wall. "Take a broom, kid. And nothing else."
"Yes, ma'am."
The child began to dutifully sweep the floor near the table where the other children were sitting. From inside the front door, Lily laughed.
"Good luck, Annie."
Annalene scowled playfully.
"Just go. You're letting the tepid air out."
A low whine sounded from the west, slowly increasing in volume and crescendo. Annalene dashed to the counter to check the video feed from the Southern Hillside security cam. She saw what she expected to see. Land speeders coming back from the Vizard farm. And she also saw what she had feared to see. Jabe, perched precariously on the back of Vika Galt's snazzy land speeder. Annalene opened the window and called out to her daughter.
Callie, bring me a bantha prod.
The girl looked up from her work.
You want the training prod or the big one?
Dark eyebrows made an angry V. Doesn't matter. Chapter 4. For Orin, returning to the claim was always like coming home. It wasn't his home, of course. It was Danar's. And then Danar's and Annalene's. And for the last several years, Annalene's alone. But Orin felt the tie to the compound that went beyond the law, or such law as there was on Tatooine. Orin had laid the first bricks for the store, driven in the first land speeder for repair, and eaten the first meal at the lunch counter. A place was a thing, and you weren't supposed to get sentimental about things, but it was also his last link to the best friend he'd ever had, and that wasn't something he'd ever be able to ignore. The claim had been Danar's big idea. He was good with ideas, even better than Orin was. Together, they'd made great things happen in the Oasis. One day, they'd imagined, Orin's farms and Danar's market would turn into a second Anchorhead, or even Bastine. Orin could see that happening. The Pika had that much potential. But Danar had changed after marrying his sales clerk. He'd always kept a foot in the store after that, never willing to risk more than he could afford at one time. And after Callie was born, forget it. Fatherhood had the opposite effect on Orin. He couldn't wait to hit the range each day, searching for treasure in the air. But Danar's bets were ever smaller, and on surer things. That had made Danar's claim a strong operation, to be sure, a good earner, even by Orin's current standards. But it had meant that only one of them was able to go for the main chance when opportunity came. By the time Jabe was in the cradle, Orin's holdings had almost completely enveloped the store property. Not that Danar had ever begrudged Orin's success. Danar had been happy to see someone making use of his ideas, and the fact that it was a friend profiting made it even better. The Calwell and Galt operations were as close as they could be without a legal partnership, which the friends never contemplated.